Childhood memories are fragile things, selective snapshots that form the foundation of who we become. In Penpal, these memories take a sinister turn as an unnamed narrator pieces together fragments of his past to reveal a horrifying truth that was always lurking just beneath the surface of his consciousness. Unlike supernatural horror stories, the terror here comes from something entirely human, a stalker who shadows a child's life for years, transforming innocent childhood experiences into something profoundly disturbing. What begins as disconnected recollections gradually forms a coherent pattern of obsession and predation that spans years, leaving us to wonder how much of our childhood understanding is incomplete, and what shadows might be following us even now. Have you ever revisited a childhood home only to find it smaller than you remembered? Our young minds naturally distort reality. The narrator's modest, manufactured home felt like a castle, with concrete support seeming to elevate him above the world rather than indicate poverty. The same woods transformed from magical playground by day to monster-filled nightmare by night, identical trees viewed through different perceptual lenses. When strange noises frightened him, his mother cleaned his ears with a turkey baster to prove nothing was there. This satisfied him then, but adult understanding reveals the truth. Someone was actually living under their home, watching. This gap between childhood perception and reality drives the story's tension. The narrator's memories come in fragments, like scattered puzzle pieces. When he mysteriously wakes up in winter woods without explanation, we glimpse how vulnerable children truly are, not just to external threats, but to the limitations of their own understanding, making childhood both magical and perilous. Remember the joy of releasing a balloon into the endless sky? For kindergartners, the balloon project embodied childhood hope, colorful helium balloons soaring away with notes asking finders to become pen pals. Each child included a dollar for stamps and self-portraits. When 24 balloons filled the courtyard sky, the innocent activity took an unsettling turn. While classmates received friendly responses, the narrator received only photographs, dozens of them, without a single word. Years later, while running a snow cone business with his friend Josh, he discovers something chilling. One of their dollar bills bears the words "for stamps," his very dollar from the balloon. Examining the Polaroids carefully reveals a horrifying truth. He appears in every photo, sometimes at the frame's edge or in crowds. When a new photo appears showing him and Josh from just the previous day, the final revelation emerges. The envelope has no postmark. Someone had hand-delivered it. The balloon meant for connection had attracted a predator documenting his life for years. Years later, the narrator and Josh revisit his childhood home, ostensibly searching for his lost cat, Boxes. They find the house abandoned, contradicting his mother's claim that new owners lived there. After losing at rock, paper, scissors, the narrator enters the dreaded crawl space, finding a decomposed raccoon. Meanwhile, Josh discovers the narrator's clothes still in closets and walls covered with Polaroid photos of him. Their exploration turns terrifying when Josh whispers someone else is in the house. Heavy footsteps move overhead. Paralyzed with guilt, the narrator remains frozen while Josh describes an intruder carrying a large moving bag. The narrator finds a pile of dead animals beneath his room, suggesting someone has been living there. When he tries to escape, the board won't budge. After a frightening chase, Josh rescues him and they flee. Later, he learns his mother knew someone was living under their house. That night, he hears Boxes meowing through his walkie-talkie, but his cat never returns, revealing a real predator had been there all along. The narrator and Josh map their neighborhood waterways more thoroughly than most children. Their suburban development had winding roads with a single exit, bordered by a tributary feeding into a lake. Their project began after their balloon project when Josh wondered about message bottles. They created maps, marked progress with stakes, and built a styrofoam raft to sail and document discoveries each weekend. At an impassable bend surrounded by woods, they planned to return with the narrator's shark float. When they did, both float and towel had vanished. Someone was watching them. When the narrator's mother left for work unexpectedly, they explored further with their map and Roman candles for light. As darkness fell, they heard disturbing sounds. When the narrator called, "Hello?" a whispered response echoed back, "Hello?" Terrified, they broke the raft and swam to shore as their map floated away. Later, the narrator found a paper in his pocket showing two faceless stick figures holding hands, one much larger, with his initials beside the smaller figure. Someone had been watching closely enough to slip it into his pocket unnoticed. Years later, the narrator visits Veronica in the hospital, her jaw wired shut. They share moments of connection before she reveals her brother Josh ran away 2 years ago and asks him not to return. They begin texting daily instead. He confronts his mother about hiding Josh's disappearance, straining their relationship. When Veronica texts, "I love you," he's flooded with emotion. Their digital connection grows as she claims to be released but always postpones meeting. When she suggests the midnight movie, he saves her a seat, but she never arrives. A strange man with disturbing breathing takes her place instead. The truth devastates him. Veronica died weeks earlier during his last visit. Someone stole her phone and impersonated her. Her parents discovered the theft when their provider reported hundreds of pictures sent to him after her death, pictures he never received. The final message, "See you again, soon," reveals the horrifying reality. His childhood stalker was still watching, now weaponizing his grief. Life changes in an instant, sometimes with something as simple as a spilled carton of milk. On his first day at kindergarten, the narrator met Josh when they discovered identical Ninja Turtles lunchboxes, beginning an inseparable friendship that would ultimately end in tragedy. Their friendship began deteriorating after sneaking out to the narrator's old house. At the narrator's 12th birthday, Josh seemed disturbed by an anonymous "I love you" card and walkie-talkies. As Josh left, he apologized, "I think I've been sleepwalking." That was the last time the narrator ever saw him. Josh's body was later found in a makeshift tomb alongside a large man whose arm was wrapped around him. Pinned to Josh's shirt was a picture of the narrator, and in his pocket was their childhood expedition map. Most horrifying, Josh's father had unknowingly been paid by the stalker to dig holes on his property, the same man found dead with Josh. "He paid me $100 so that I would bury him with my boy," he sobbed. Ordinary childhood activities become vehicles for horror when viewed through adult knowledge. True terror lies not in supernatural monsters, but in human predators.